The White House is finalizing plans for its new Cyber Threat Integration Center. That center will connect the dots in cyber for civilian, DOD, and intelligence community agencies. In the latest edition of his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller writes about the launch of this new center, and he is here to discuss the CTIC. Well, we can't have some new federal thing without it having an acronym. What will the new CTIC do, and when will it actually launch, Jason?
Well, let me get to the second question first. It's actually going to launch just in time for Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I know that's a month we all look forward to.
Yes.
I think we also call it Rocktober, but that's a whole different discussion, isn't it?
Exactly.
So what the plan for CTIC is really to model, it's going to be modeled after the intelligence community, what they did after 9/11. You know, the White House introduced this back in February, and they said, we see a hole or gaps in how the community, meaning DOD, Intel, and civilian agencies share threat data. And they're not just sharing bits and bytes, but they're trying to share all pieces of threat data. So it's not just, hey, there's this malware, watch out for it, but hey, this malware is coming from a specific, you know, Russia or China, and these people usually go in this direction and take this kind of data and do this type of thing with the data. So they're trying to give you that whole pattern. Again, going back to the initial thing that you read, Francis, connect the dots, they're trying to make sure every agency has that understanding of what the malware is, what the threat is, what the vulnerability is, and then how to fix it. It's in many ways, again, it's modeled after what they did with the intelligence community post 9/11 when they realized the gaps there as well.
You got me with the Rocktober reference, by the way, which is a throwback to my old rock and top 40 radio career. So kudos to you for that.
I tried to come up with Securetober or something, you know, but that didn't work for me, so I just gave up.
Cybertober doesn't really do it. I mean, yeah. I appreciate the effort, but I get what you're coming up with there. The president announced the creation of this back in February. Why did the White House think this was necessary, Jason?
Yeah, I think one of the big reasons is they saw time and again, just the holes or the gaps in the coverage. And I think they're getting a lot of people are getting back around to the top part of it, which is, hey, if we don't know, if I know something, Francis, and you know something, but if we know something together, we're much stronger as a community. And I think that that's just the idea of crowdsourcing or whatever you want to call it, even if it's top secret crowdsourcing, you're going to be better off. And I think after the OPM breach, and even though this came before the OPM breach, but I would bet, Francis, they knew that that was coming. I would tell you that with all the other hacks that, whether it's the Energy Department has suffered or DOD or the Joint Staff or even the White House, they said, we got to do a better job. And I think this is that one step in the direction. Now, the CTIC will not be everything to everybody. And in fact, you know, Michael Daniel, the White House cybersecurity coordinator, said just last week, we're not going to if the CTIC does its job well, it's going to be behind the scenes and no one actually will ever know it's doing its job. And if the CTIC is the goal is to bring all details about a threat together, then the agencies can all benefit from understanding the broader picture of that threat. And I think that's key here. Number one, you know, it's not going to come together right away. And when it does, it's going to take some time. So October is really just initial operating capability. And then they'll begin to put the pieces in place. And then they'll kind of move forward and really ramp up to get better threat intelligence and share it in a better way. So again, everyone understands what's happening.
Does the CTIC have support on the Hill? And more importantly, does it have support on the Hill from the people who have their fingers in cyber stuff all the time, like Senator Carper and others?
So it does have support on the Hill, but it's interesting. The Congress is trying to be very prescriptive of what the CTIC is trying to do or should be doing. In both the House Intelligence Authorization Act of 2016, which actually passed the House back in June or July, what happened was they put in there some provisions. For instance, they would limit the CTIC to 50 permanent positions. And in the bill, it says the CTIC would not be allowed to augment its staff with contractors, with detailees, or other typical ways agencies can augment their staffs. It also says that the CTIC must be located in offices owned or run by the intelligence community. And then it also lays out five primary mission areas. So instead of just saying, you know, make sure you connect the dots and do good with cyber, it's actually being very, very specific. And that's unusual for Congress when it comes to this type of organization. Now, on the Senate side, the Senate bill does not include these provisions. So, but the Senate bill only got through the Intelligence Committee in July. So we're going to have to see kind of how, if the Intelligence Authorization Act actually gets to the final stages and whether or not these provisions are in. Now, the White House, of course, is not happy with these provisions in the House bill. It objects to it because it says it expands the CTIC's role into functions that are already being performed in other places in government. And, of course, you don't want to be limited to 50 people. I mean, maybe you need 60, maybe you need 40, maybe you need 80. And I think the Congress's concern is, will this just become another big bureaucratic organization, or can they kind of limit how big it can be? So I think that's another thing to watch out for.
You kind of anticipated my question, which was, why do we have a sense of why Congress is being so prescriptive? Because that seems that they're being very, very explicit about what they want and expect from CTIC.
You know, it's hard to say, because in the House version of the Intelligence Authorization Act, it doesn't say we believe this because. It just says,
right,
Here's the provisions around it. So I'm not sure why. The only thing I can think of is about that the bureaucracy, and they're trying to limit just how much it can grow and how many more people you're adding to the government. I think that they got a little bit out of hand post 9/11, and the intelligence community grew, and now they're having to scale back some or relook at the workforce in terms of how it's been developed.
We just have a minute or so left, Jason, but you also write in this week's notebook that if you were only to read USA Today, you'd think that the Energy Department is just another example of a federal agency that has no control over its cyber defenses at all. But you write that there's a little bit more to it than that.
Well, I got the pleasure of listening to Michael Johnson, who's the new Energy Department CIO, speak last week. And while he did not necessarily address the USA Today story, he came to the NIST, to the FCA INSA conference with a specific idea of what he wanted to talk about. And real quick, just for background on the USA Today story, and we do have that story linked up on federalnewsradio.com, they FOIA'd some documents and found very smartly that the Energy Department was successfully hacked 159 times sometime between 2010 and 2014, including, Francis, this is key, 53 instances where the attackers took control over what they call root servers, basically the servers that run the network. Now, that seems awful, but we have to put some perspective on this, and I think that's what Michael Johnson was trying to do. First of all, the 159 successful intrusions were out of more than 1,100 cyber attacks, so it's roughly a 14% success rate. So the other, you flip the coin, you could say, well, that's an 86% success rate to stopping hackers. So that's one way to look at it. But Michael Johnson also laid out, the CIO at Energy laid out, a couple challenges they're up against. 600 total information systems, 300,000 unclassified endpoints, 200 data centers, 37,000 mobile devices. And I think his point here is saying, look, we have a huge network and we're trying to make it smaller, be more efficient. But it takes some time. And I think that the USA Today story, I think accurate, didn't necessarily tell the entire complexity that the Energy Department is facing.
All right, you've got the entire Inside the Reporter's Notebook at federalnewsradio.com, and I thank you as always for coming on, Jason.
Always my pleasure.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor.